Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome. Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
What's up, Bradford?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey.
So, rather than pretending it's just the two of us for like a hot second,
yeah,
we are in a room with two of our very, 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 very favorite people.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And it's been amazing.
So, and this is probably going to be one of our favorite days of recent memory.
Yes.
And it's because we're with these guys, and we're going to do fun stuff, and it... And
what do you mean we're going to do fun stuff? Poor Chuck is back together.
Poor Chuck is back, yes. And we got Brandon Barash, we got Jeremy Ross with us. Scott, we all happened to stay in a hotel together last night. Scott didn't join us because he's shooting a movie.
He's shooting a short film.
Scott Reeves, the working actor.
Yeah.
And
he was going method last night. He actually slept under a bridge off the 405.
He's playing a homeless person, and... he certainly looks the part these days.
Yeah, and he said he didn't shower for 4 days.
He smelled like he didn't shower for 4 days.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's
love
it.
You, Scotty.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, he smelled fine.
Yeah. We had an amazing rehearsal last night.
Yeah, it was interesting. That was an interesting place.
It was not... So the place that we're performing tonight, we haven't been there yet, but the pictures look gorgeous.
The pictures look a lot better than where we were last night.
Right.
But you love a deal.
I do love
so I found a rehearsal place. Usually Bradford does a lot of the stuff, but I found one, and it was super cheap. I don't even know how they stay open, by the way.
I don't get it.
They look on the brink.
Yeah, on the brink of something.
They're living there, so there's that.
Yes.
They're saving and living.
It felt like Texas Chainsaw Massacre a little bit when we pulled in. It was you guys, the gate!
You guys walked in with camera equipment. They're like, what are y'all doing with that camera?
I know. It is a weird
What are y'all doing in there?
Totally.
Well, because it's a music recording studio, and we walk in, and you know, we were just working on vocals.
You can hear every other band.
Right. And so we were just working on vocals, so we didn't need any microphones. And he's like, you guys need any microphones? And we're like, no. And then he sees all this like equipment, and he's like, what are you guys doing?
doing in here?
You know,
you like to know?
Well, that's the thing is, like, if you're in any other part of the country, L.A., I feel like you can walk into a random room with like camera equipment and people are just assume you're doing something like above the board.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
Or like creative, artistic, you know, but like if you're in, I don't know, if you're in the middle of, I don't want to say a state, but if you're in the middle of somewhere else and you walk into like a shabby hotel room with a bunch of camera equipment, people are going to make assumptions about you.
Yeah.
And,
but it seems like that place has been there for a long time, but it sure wasn't soundproof.
No.
Because there was only two groups rehearsing, us and a band, and of course they were right across the hall,
and we could hear exactly every single note of what they were playing,
and it was awful.
I guess maybe the thing is that like you're supposed to make more noise than your neighbor, so you don't care.
Well, and also so you don't hear it.
So this is a lovely creative day. We're doing podcasts this morning. We got a little infusion of some vitamins. So if you're watching the video up here and
marks.
Yeah, we're all done.
We didn't shoot heroin last night.
Yeah, no.
We got some IVs this morning, which were amazing for a great night tonight. I know this is going to be, you know.
This is going to be next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, but last night was so fun. It was amazing.
Imagine if everything just goes like terrible tonight.
Right?
Like someone
I was going to say, you guys should shut up about how great the rehearsal was. Because
in theater,
if you have a good dress rehearsal.
Well.
You're screwed
We kind of had a dress rehearsal. But what was cool is how everything kind of just fell right into place after 5 years of not singing songs.
When was the last show we did?
5 years ago. Almost 5 years ago.
That was 2017 in Nashville, I think, right?
Yeah, almost 5 years
ago. So 3 years ago. Well, 2017.
Yeah, was it 2017?
I think so.
I mean, I'm no math wizard, but I think 20 minus 17 is 3.
I keep wanting to say 5 years, and I've been saying 5 years.
Yeah. Let's go with 5 then.
Let's go with 5
compromise.
Let's just round.
Four.
Let's round.
You want to meet
in
the middle?
Round up.
No?
So
no compromise.
I just, you know, the 5-year mark's good. And it's the first time we were in the room together, all of us.
Well, but some of those songs that, you know, I think we're so far away from it that we don't remember exactly what we did. You know, obviously we have some favorites from like the nearest tours. Although, like two of your favorite songs from the nearest tours, we're not doing tonight.
No.
So like some of the songs that were,
but those are live shows.
More
songs.
Yeah, totally.
But so some of these we haven't sang in probably 8 years.
Right.
Yeah. And yet, most of the harmonies and everything,
they all fell in.
And some of the lyrics too. Did you notice that too?
Yeah,
yeah. It's
like
crazy,
some of the lyrics that I don't. If someone said, you know, what is the third lyric from Bad Medicine in the second chorus? I'd be like, I have no idea. But then in the moment,
music comes on. Yeah, everybody starts singing, and it all comes back.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
It was amazing. Yeah. It brought back so many memories of just random memories. Like,
for sure.
Random, like, somewhat like Brandon, some of his best performances. I remember it was one of his best was Water Street. It was House of the Rising Sun. I don't know why I remember specifically.
Water Street, Rochester.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing. And it was just like, your voice sounded incredible. You know, some days where it's, you just feel like it just sounds golden.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because we were, I don't know how many days in we were, but we were warmed up or whatever. Right. But it's just you just remember those performances that just stick out. You're like, oh, that was amazing, you know. But and it was just so fun. Dude.
It was
poor Chuck was so fun.
So fun. And gosh, I haven't seen Scott maybe since
3 years ago.
5 years.
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
three to five years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's
well, I
crazy.
Guess you know we did see each other when we were doing when we were shooting like promo stuff for the tour that never was.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's right.
That's right.
Jeremy took pictures.
Yeah,
of us.
Jeremy did a good video for us.
That was also at a recording studio, right?
Yeah, that was in Hollywood. Yeah. That was a nice
one.
We did a whole rehearsal and everything.
We didn't really rehearse, no. We just did a promo.
At a recording studio.
At a recording studio.
It's early. The idea has a fully
no, because remember we shot the indoor.
We shot the video, the promo video.
That's
remember,
what it was.
We were singing. What were we singing? Were we singing House of the Rising Sun while Steve was like mixing in the like
so
pretend to DJ
first
in the
of all,
background?
That's
so
a weird song to DJ to.
That's why it was funny.
Yeah.
Because we were singing this like random, like really kind of like slow, like haunting
and
song.
And he was wicka wicka wah in the background.
And we had like big smiles on our faces. And Steve's like on a turntable in the back.
There is a house in New Orleans.
But those pictures Jeremy got, Jeremy's with us today, Jeremy Ross, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, dude.
Those pictures were amazing.
I've used that as my solo picture as a headshot many times.
Yeah, he did a bunch of headshots. Yeah, it's cool.
That was
during
the last fires in California, right?
Because
it was a spooky day that night.
That was, that's right, the sky was orange.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That was that first round of really bad wildfires. That we had a couple years ago. Yeah,
it was really
so for Port Chuck, is there anything, I know we've talked about it before, but is there anything new that kind of popped in your head last night of like, you know, like, oh, Wilbur was the best or...
Wilbur
you remember
best.
Like the ping pong table on 42nd Street.
Yeah.
You just remember all these random things that flash into your head, you know.
What came back to me last night was the first tour we ever did. We all landed in Nashville, and we met, I think, at your house or somebody's house, and then we all caravaned to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And walking around the grocery store with, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 shopping carts, like little kids.
Is this when we were loading the bus up?
Yeah. Just throwing anything we thought we might possibly want to eat
in the next two weeks in the cart. It was not thought out.
No,
like not the first time.
Pop-Tarts, hot dogs.
Everything.
And I'm like, those microwave sure.
I know.
Well, and with
that was always fun meeting the getting on the bus.
Oh,
though.
Dude, it was like,
yeah.
But like with 13 of us, the amount of, well, and it's funny, like our musicians knew better, like, and our lead guitarist just got like a 12 pack of Coke and he was fine.
Yeah. I'll just eat whatever y'all eat.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, the amount of like freaking power bars that we're, it's amazing. Our stomach survived that.
What about you, Jeremy? Are there anything that kind of being back together last night? Was there anything?
I don't know how far this back goes or how far this goes back, but I remember randomly we met Reba McEntire
And, oh my God, that was CMA Fest. That was our first outing. In Nashville.
I got to bring my camera, and we were randomly, I don't know if it was at her studio or
it was at a studio or something.
It was at a house.
And then you guys some did fancy something. Studio somewhere.
Yeah, it was a fancy music studio. Yeah, but it was a house. It was a house.
It was a house in the basement of the house, but I don't think it was her house.
No, it was a recording studio.
Yeah.
But the fun thing about that was we were about to leave, and then someone came in and was like, no, Reba wants to say hi to y'all.
Right, because we were recording something for SoapNet down there.
Right.
Yeah, that was CMA Fest.
Right,
That was kind of our coming out.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, not a bad coming out.
No.
I'll take it. It's really good.
But that's right. Well, because we have that picture with her.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the circumstances of the day, like why the heck we were in the same place as her. But that picture was certainly a moment in time.
Yeah.
Totally. It was fun, man.
But yeah, so we're, you know, I for all of you guys that joined us tonight, thank you. Brandon, now is on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, man.
For UGH fans that maybe don't turn the dial.
Johnny's the Caras, no longer.
Johnny's now Jake.
Jake. Yeah. Are you Jake now?
Right, I keep I'm thinking Jake. You're Stefan.
I was Stefan first.
So can you explain to us
how that explain everything. So yeah, I don't even know what the hell's going on in your life. Go ahead.
All right. So I took over the role of Stefan DiMera.
Right.
I don't know, 2+ years ago.
Sure.
And then they kept the character going for about, I don't know, close to a year.
Right.
And killed him off. And then a couple months
later. So they killed you?
They killed me.
And right. How'd you die?
So there was a confrontation with my mother and a police officer.
Interesting.
My mother was pointing a gun at the police officer. Police officer drew, shot. I
jumped in.
Entered the matrix, jumped in front of the bullet, took it in the throat, and died gushing blood.
Protecting your mom.
Protecting my mom.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm not sure if this is appropriate to talk about, but at that moment, was that, like, how was it decided that you were going to leave Days? Like, was it a good decision? Like, or do you know what I'm saying? What was the circumstances of that?
It was one of those things. I took over the role and they said, look, we're not quite sure where to go with this. We're probably going to write the character off within about a month. So we're just looking for you to close the storyline out.
Mm.
I was like, great. So a month turned into almost a year of shows.
Right.
It was like 7 months taping time, which I think stretched out to almost, you know, probably 9 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So I was like, great. Figured I was going to be in business for a month, and I did 7. And then they're like, yeah, we're bringing the story to an end. They killed the character. Fans were pissed that I was off the show. And so casting called me a few months later like, would you consider coming back? And I was like, how's that going to work? And so they pitched me the storyline. And gave me a little bit of creative liberty with it. And here we are.
So are you a twin?
Now I'm Jake.
You're a twin.
Yes.
Jake DiMera.
I was first Jake Lambert.
That's a manly name.
And then he found out that he's actually a DiMera.
No kidding.
He's Stefan's twin brother.
You don't say.
Right?
So,
is Patch still there?
What are the odds? Who's Patch? Is that Stephen Nichols, the guy with the eye patch?
You're on the show.
Yeah. Well, I have.
Do they call him Patch?
I just had one scene with him, and I can't say what it was because I don't think it's aired yet.
Yeah, because we shot it in 2019, but it hasn't aired yet.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah,
before COVID.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
but he's
still there. Yeah.
But they call him Patch.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't answer that question for you.
Jeremy, do they still call him Patch?
Patch Adams.
No, not Patch Adams. No.
But before when you were Stefan, you were with. You were in a romantic pairing with, what was her name, Gabby?
Gabby, yeah.
So, because I've seen the...
Stabby, as they call it.
Stabby.
Stabby Love.
That's an interesting ship name.
Yeah, right?
Stabby.
Imagine the smush name of Jake and Gabby. Jabby.
Now, was Gabby just so transfixed by seeing someone that resembled the man she loved so much that she had to have him? Or how did that go down?
Are you talking about the relationship with Stefan or Jake?
With Jake, I guess.
Well, he's dead.
Right.
Stefan's dead. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So what'd Gabby do?
Oh, my God. You look like Stefan. Can we do it?
For weeks, it was like...
Can we do it?
Jake.
You think that's what people say?
That's what I would say.
Well, we know you would.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if Stabby would.
I think a couple of months of tape time, she was very kind of obsessed with this guy, Jake, who she was convinced... was her husband, either who had been brainwashed or was pretending not to be him. Because
those are both viable options,
right? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
So as it turned out, like, she had a DNA test run and all this, and yeah, that's how we found out that Jake is actually
all because of her urging this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. And you guys are now in a happy jabby.
No, she's off the show now.
Oh no!
Oh no! Did she die?
She get shot in the throat?
She's coming back as Abby. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's an Abby on the show already.
Oh, she. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tabby.
Yeah, there you go.
This could go really south.
Tabby, Abby, and Gabby.
Jeremy's like, why am I sitting here?
Labby.
I'm waiting for my hair to grow back, and it's not.
Not yet.
Labyrinth. Call her Labby for sure. This is my daughter, Labyrinth.
Here he goes. Here he
She's
goes.
A very complex individual. We call her Labby. She was made in a lab. We named her Labyrinth.
So what's it like being back on date? Well, you guys had a long COVID break, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, we were off March till September.
So longer than us, I guess.
Longer than you guys. Yeah. We were off longer. Yeah.
Yeah, and so people were pretty thrilled to be back, I imagine?
Very.
Yeah.
Very, yeah.
And it's very different being back.
So different. Yeah. It's like alternate universe, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys can probably say the same thing.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are maybe a little more... have a little more, I guess, I don't want to say isolation, but probably isolation.
Oh, absolutely.
In the sense of, obviously we get tested and we take all the precautions and all that stuff, but each show does their own different thing.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. YNR does their own thing.
Based off of how they're advised by their COVID team.
Right.
Who's different from the actual production team. They're part of the production team now.
Yes.
But before this whole thing, they were different entities.
Is that, so in terms of that, overseeing, is that a Corday overseeing thing, or is that an NBC overseeing thing? Who's taking on the liability for that, I guess, is my
answer. I would imagine it's the studio, but I have no idea.
Yeah, it's got to be the studio,
yeah,
I'd say.
Because they're the workplace versus the production company that's in there.
Or maybe it's a collaboration of studio and network.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's just...
And Corday. I mean, I'm sure he has something to do with it, too.
Well, sure, but I wasn't sure, like... Because ultimately, who's the employer at Days?
That's a really good question. I think it's Corday.
Right.
But then...
And then they sell it to NBC.
They sell it to NBC, or is it Sony now?
It's Sony.
Or Sony.
It's Sony now.
Yeah, it's Sony.
They sell it to Sony?
And then Sony sells it to NBC,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah, I believe that's how it works, yes.
Yeah, because we're just in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah, which affects more than I ever... I didn't know that there were other ways of, especially daytime, of doing it until... You know, I learned more about the CBS model when you were there, and now hearing more about Days. Like,
'cause you guys are all under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah. And so I, you know, the methodology for them is just so, when you say company wide at Disney, I mean, that's a huge thing to see, right? Like,
right.
So what their practices there, that's all like, I think company wide.
Yes, it is.
You know, 'cause when
I think Grays is back now too.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they're doing a COVID story because in our parking lot, they have a set that looks like a COVID tent. Looks like a COVID tent.
Yeah. Jeremy, we need you.
Yeah.
We need you on set.
Well, it's funny. It's like, I remember the first time it came up, I was like, oh, crap. Am I not supposed to go into testing there? I almost walked into there going like...
I'm here for my test.
Swab me, please.
Yes.
Bend over.
Swabby.
Swabby.
Swabby. That's a good one.
A Swabby good one. Love.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay, so now, you know, how different is Jake from Stefan?
Very different. Stefan was very buttoned up, always wanted to do the right thing outwardly. Like, he had no qualms about screwing anybody over.
Sure.
But always wanted to keep up appearances.
Isn't that a Demera thing? Aren't they, like, kind of
Yeah,
like,
they're kind of a ruthless family.
Are they Cassadine-y?
Ish. I don't know if I know enough about the Cassadine family to adequately answer that.
Right.
But
right.
From what I know...
I hope not.
I mean...
I hope you don't.
But less Sakara-y and more Cassadine-y.
Sure, yeah.
This guy. See what happens when he gets an IV? Yeah, he starts giggling. There's giggle juice in there. Dr. Giggles.
He was very buttoned up, very, very white collar.
Yeah.
And Jake is just the complete opposite. Blue collar guy, auto mechanic. He's from like the streets of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
There you go.
And
does he sound like Johnny when he came a little bit?
He
Or not, is he saying use guys instead of...
He says yens.
Yens, yens. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Yens.
Yens in that. Yeah. Jake kind of sounds like this. He's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Yeah. He drinks Yingling and...
He does, yeah. Yens wants some Yingling? We're going to go down to the stadium, watch the Stullers play, and then afterwards we're going to go to Giant Eagle, pick up some hoagies. So I dialed down the Pittsburgh a little bit for the show because it was actually, no offense to the Yinzers out there, but Pittsburgh was, I did research, voted the least desirable accent as like the ears are concerned.
Right.
In America.
That's so funny, dude.
A narrow victory, really? Over Boston.
Yeah, right. I
know. Really? Yeah. Like, yeah. Because you got like, Brooklyn, you got...
But
Pittsburgh is there. There's
interesting.
Some...
Interesting.
People consider it abrasive. That's not my opinion, Yinzers. It's it's an opinion that I noticed that exists online.
It's an opinion that some people have, not mine,
yeah,
but some people
not mine.
Have.
No.
That's funny.
But so I kind of dialed it back a little bit and just made him a little more street. So in that sense, he is
similar. Were they like, oh, Brandon, what are you doing?
Well,
when you first came in.
This was a deliberate decision. I actually wanted to make him Israeli at first.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I wanted to make him like a Mossad guy, ex-Mossad
guy.
Oh,
yeah, that's fun.
And they just didn't want to go international. They're like, let's do something more that's American.
let's go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let's take the worst accent dialect.
We had two, and I actually sent them tapes of me doing both.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they didn't expect you to come in with a regional accent, or did they want that?
That was part of the discussion.
Oh.
That was probably maybe he talks a little different.
Oh,
so then
I'd be out for
it
sure.
It was
I'd be out of this.
Yeah.
No. I'd be out of development. Acting.
It was great though, because it was collaborative.
Sure.
It was like, you know,
that
I was working with Ron
great.
And Albert on the creation of this character, and nice. So we together decided Pittsburgh.
So, amazing.
And Philadelphia. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I know, because you do kind of some impressions and stuff. Is there anything new, or can you throw out some?
You just heard it, buddy.
Oh, is that Jake Lambert.
That's right.
What about what I know, because you used to do Hank all the time.
I haven't brought him out in a long time, but considering it's poor Chuck, let's all sit around the campfire, roast each other's marshmallows.
Do you remember that video we did with Pinocchio
amazing.
Way back when?
Which one? We did a couple.
Right. He did one where it was kind
did
of
I bust
just like,
out an impression in the middle of a Pinocchio video?
A bunch.
Did I really?
Yeah, amazing.
In the makeup,
was I drunk?
In the makeup room.
Oh, my God.
Because
oh.
He's like, you know, he did the old, by day, they are some of your favorite daytime actors. Okay. By night, they are poor Chuck. Right. Like,
okay.
And so it was kind of like an overview, and like yeah. Steve talked to him about the, you know, the idea, and then... And then it ended, he buttoned it with, you know, yes, actors, music, but one of the other guys might have another career in impressions. And then it's you singing like, What a Wonderful World is Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You do that. That's right.
That's a dream.
Don't do that. Don't hurt your voice.
Yeah. Red roses too.
Yeah, no, hold, save that. Yeah. But, gosh, yeah, no, that was... Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but, like, basically going into, like, a black hole of YouTube videos, of nostalgia, of YouTube
of myself?
Well,
no.
Of us.
I don't
of
know.
Us. You bitch.
Of Port Chuck.
It's a deep black hole of sentimentality and good
times.
No,
there are times I don't like watching myself, so I avoid doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you watch the show at all, your show?
No.
Yeah.
I've never seen a full episode.
I love that.
Or even a full episode of my scenes. Never. Yeah. Not once.
It's nice to...
He's just got it on loop in his house.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
No, when I was on General Hospital... But that's a good question. When I was on General Hospital, I watched every single scene I did.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
What changed?
All the way to the end?
Detachment.
Interesting.
My approach to the work. Oh. Leaving it all out there. Mm. And knowing, you know, even if I didn't do all that I could have...
So what was the mindset switch on that? Where that kind of was it in class? Was it just
it's a little
like,
bit of that? It was just a little bit, you know, to get douchey for a second, but it's kind of part of a maturation process of at least my work is detachment, knowing that I will do everything I can to prepare, and leave it all on the field, as it were. Mm-hmm. And then when I walk off stage after I've done those scenes, I know I can't get that time back. I can't get those scenes back. Move on to the next one.
Right.
You know, it's like you see baseball players, right? They're not going to think about their last at bat. Like,
if they're not going to go home and rewatch the game either.
Well, but they will sometimes. They'll watch tape. But what I'm saying is, there's that kind of that goldfish memory of forgetting the last at bat and just being present during this at bat. And so for me, it's more of an exercise of being present and taking everything moment to moment and not watching, being like, ah, crap. Right. I could have done that differently. There's always, even if you think you have eked out a perfect performance,
there's something
always something you missed. There's always something that you could have done better.
Well, and how fast we go. There's, you know, sometimes you stumble on a line, you're like, and they take it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I will stop the scene if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll just, when you say stop, or you just mess up more.
I'll say, oh, we got to do that again. Or I'll say, oh, shit. And they can't keep that.
They can't keep that, right?
Yeah. No, they cannot.
I won't keep... Unless I think it's something that... Look, in real life, we stutter, right?
Of course.
We start sentences and then we restart them. So if it's something like that...
Or something that's like an organic human moment. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But if it's a blatant flub and it looks like an actor flubbing a line, I'll stop the scene.
You may have heard me talk about bird nutrition before. My family and I started Burt Nutrition because of our collective passion for health and wellness and to help people lose weight and just feel better about themselves. Who doesn't want to feel better about themselves? So right now, I'm just going to take a minute to talk to you about our staple product, our grass-fed whey protein that's available at burtnutrition.com. We created a high-quality, healthy, pure protein supplement without an ingredient list full of junk. Our grass-fed whey protein is all natural, hormone-free. It has the nutritional components your body needs to build muscle and lose weight. So stop buying just any protein powder on the shelf, especially if it has a ton of ingredients you can't read. Our grass-fed whey protein is low-carb, naturally sweetened with stevia, and has 23 grams of power-packed protein in every scoop, and it tastes amazing. Whether you're looking for a nutritious snack or a meal replacement with one of our awesome shake recipes, which include apple pie, pumpkin spice, and cinnamon roll, just to name a few, or you just want to include more protein in your diet, which we all need, try our great-tasting grass-fed whey protein. We have vanilla and we have chocolate, and it's awesome. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off right now at burtnutrition.com. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny what you said about, you know, not looking back. And, you know, the only times that I would watch the show is when I had something either that I identified as a challenge, be it a comedic challenge or a dramatic challenge.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then wanted to be like, all right, it felt like I either met the challenge or exceeded it or did. I would watch to kind of match up with my feeling of how it went.
Did that work?
And and ultimately, I'm not sure I'm not sure it was necessary or good, because you're right. No matter, like, because a lot of the things, you know, when you have a big emotional scene, especially, I found in our medium, since they're not as close to us as they would necessarily be on film, if I feel like I'm really having a moment, but it is more, you know, I'm not known for my subtlety, but if it is kind of smaller and more like, I don't see it on screen, and then I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing something, you know, really that would land in a bigger way.
Uh-huh.
And that's always interesting to me, and I don't think it's necessarily good, because maybe then next time I'll push.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to
push. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So then you're kind of chasing your tail the whole time.
Absolutely.
Right? As opposed to, I've done those scenes, I'm going to move on to the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, like, it is one day, and, you know, sometimes I'm not – and this, do you guys have more opportunities, would you say, on days for those – because when I've judged stuff or when I've caught days, it does seem like – it's a little more heightened than GH. There are more moments of – everyone seems a little more on edge on days in terms of, like, there's always someone going at each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of conflict.
Right. And a lot of domestic conflicts too. It's not like – some of the problems on our show are there's a guy, there's a mob guy, Cyrus. We got to take him down. Our lives are in danger. Where sometimes I watch days and it's like – it's like – more domestic
relationship
stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. And is that interesting? Is that an interesting world to play in? Do you feel like the relationships, like in terms of your romantic relationships on GH, your character, I mean, versus like your character's relationships on days, is there more of a play space there? Like, is there more, are those relationships, is there difference in that kind of work?
God, I don't know if I remember.
Who were you with on the show?
Johnny and Lou.
General Hospital? I was the Village Bicycle Man. I was with I was with Lulu.
The Village Pogo Stick, I think they
Pogo Stick, yeah. That's actually what I used to call it. Yeah. actually, it's whatever I've said before. I was with Lulu. I was with Olivia. I was with Carly. I was with...
Really?
Who'd Kelly Sullivan play?
Connie.
I was with Lisa Niles, with Brianna Brown.
Wow.
I was with Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Wait, so they never really...
Put you with... Like, you didn't have a relationship for a while. Like a long relationship on the show.
Lulu was a long relationship. Carly was a long relationship.
Really?
Olivia was a long relationship. Lulu, I mean, they were all, each of those were at least a year to two, I believe.
Wow. Unless so how long were you on GH?
I think 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good run.
7 years. And then, I made the choice to leave and they asked if I would come back. It was, I think, 2 Decembers in a row. And do like a handful of episodes, which I did.
That's cool.
But it was a 7-year run. Yeah.
Do you end up working with less acting partners at Days than you do at GH?
I feel like that's the case, yes.
Yeah, you're more with your...
And certainly now, I think they're trying to do less of that.
Yeah, just two people.
Less, big group scenes. And But we'll still have some of those. But I have the world, each character's world is a little smaller.
Right.
There are people who I'm friends with on set who I've never had a scene with.
And they don't cross stories that
they do sometimes. I mean, because like any soap, you're going to have warring families, right? You're going to have the, the Capulets and the Montagues.
Right.
And, so whereas over there, it's what, Cassadines and Quatermains over here.
Yeah, Corinthos and whatever.
Corinthos. Jeromes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Damaris and Kiriakis.
Yes. That's right. Wally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wally. Yeah. Wally, Justin Kiriakis.
John Aniston.
Yeah.
The patriarch of the family.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, I mean,
so you're still going to have what I'm, my point to bring it around is you're still going to have that, familial conflict, intra familial as opposed to intra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in terms of being, one thing that everybody that works on a soap talks about is like being part of the history of that show. Now being a part of the history of two shows, is that like, does it feel, how does that feel? Does it register?
I never think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often think about how profound my life is.
This guy spends a lot of time alone. he's with me a lot, but he's alone a lot too.
But you also have a whole different fan base. I guess that's part of it. Is like you have obviously we spend a lot of time on social media and interacting with people, and like you just gained a whole another group of families and people that have really invested part of their lives in this show and live and breathe for it, and that's cool too.
And people who probably. Because when I went to YNR, there were YNR fans who never saw General Hospital.
Oh, that's right.
Never looked at a soap magazine. They're like, who is this guy? Where does this guy come from?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
and you were, a 20-year veteran when you went over there?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, but also, you'd been on the daytime Emmys and stuff so much and, been a face of that.
It's just interesting, though, because I'm sure there's Days fans who's like...
Who's this clown?
You're...
From what I heard... When it was announced I was taking over and I first started, people were like, who the hell is this guy?
That's funny.
But then they turned pretty quickly.
Sure.
But it was interesting.
Well, yeah, because that was your...
It's always dicey taking over a role, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, and that was your first recast.
For sure it's dicey.
I mean, because obviously you created Johnny.
And, I guess, I've created Jake via Stefan. But, that was I've never taken over a role before.
It's so...
Does it feel like... Yeah. Do you feel more ownership of Jake?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love playing that character.
Fresh,
he's fun.
Clean slate's always nice.
He doesn't take himself seriously, so I try to infuse, to the detriment of my very sweet producers and directors, as much comedy Sometimes they're like, that was hilarious, but you cannot say that. We had one of those moments yesterday. In rehearsal, I said something and the entire studio erupted. And the director came on. He's like, yeah, we need to stay away from that. I was like, okay.
Is there comedy on days?
There is. There is.
When What's Her Name was possessed. That was kind of funny.
Who was possessed?
Marlena?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a possession there thing or something there. That was a long time ago. But
right, but like purposefully comedic?
No. No.
No. But because like, you know, some shows strive for moments of levity. You can tell when they play the music.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. You know.
Something quirky's about to happen.
Yeah. It's a nice jingle.
Right?
That's amazing.
Just trademark that.
Yeah, that's a good jingle.
Is that copyright? Is that copyright or trademark?
Both.
Okay. I just did both. So back off.
Patent that shit.
Patent, yeah. I don't know if you can patent a saying. I think that's trademark.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to
try to do more. Try to give him three.
Try to get more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Jeremy.
Yeah. Hey, listen, hold on.
You've really added a lot to this conversation. Have you been sleeping for the last 20 minutes? What's going on over there?
He's been trying to grow hair.
Yes.
Trying to squeeze out some hairs.
That's right.
That was a hemorrhoid.
Jeremy has been taking care of people during these COVID times, so that's
yeah, nice. One of the first responders right here.
Depress everybody right now.
Yeah. You know. But hey, man, thank you.
Thank you.
Back, you know, a couple years ago when Steve and I kind of thought, oh, let's try to do something together. Around that same time, you were kind of in the incubation period for something with your friend Tyler.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about, like, the evolution of that.
Okay. So we have a page on Instagram, which I'm sure a lot of you have seen, called The Fathership. And it's about two single dads who are figuring it out one mess at a time. You know, who are at times a bit over their skis, but they wouldn't trade their experience for anything in the world.
That term is underused.
Yeah.
Over their skis, right? Like, maybe in California, just people don't say it because they're like, over your surfboard, bro.
Over your snowboard, man.
Over your board. You're a little over your board, bro.
You kind of sound like a Forrest Gump surfer. We're gonna go catch some wicked waves, bro. I'm from Boston by Alabama via Los Angeles. We're gonna go shred some what do you call it? Barrels.
Well, you don't shred barrels, but yeah, close.
So anyway, the Fathership is that. It's two guys, two single dads with their respective daughters figuring it out one mess at a time. It started out as an Instagram page, and now I don't want to get too into what it's turning into, but we're developing it into a very fun project.
Right.
Awesome.
That everybody will soon see.
Well, but the thing is, like, cool. You guys were making these fun
videos,
content, fun videos.
Great content, yeah.
But you mentioned that your kind of long view was, you know, to create long form content, to create, you know, to do storytelling in a bigger way than video clips. And we've had aspirations like that, but never a real plan. We just like to do dumb stuff. We kind of kept doing that, and we're like, oh, this is a comfy space.
Sure is.
Let's keep making dumb stuff.
Yep.
And I really applaud you for
not being dumb.
that's not dissimilar to where Tyler and I started. Is, you know, Tyler and I have been friends for
You guys were doing kind of comedic stuff when you were.
Yeah, I mean, he and I have been friends for 15 or so years.
Right.
And so, you know, we were friends back in acting class back in the day. That's how we met at an acting school here in LA. And then we lost touch. And then each got married. And then each got had kids. Each got divorced. And then, you know, by the magic of Instagram, we reacquainted. Sure. We were like, oh, you're a single dad? Cool, so am I. Let's meet and have lunch. And we did, and we just started shooting the shit and having a great time comparing war stories. And we closed the restaurant down. And then we're like, okay, you know what? Let's take something that is, you know, single parenthood is not to be taken lightly, and it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not,
and
sir.
It's the hardest job I'll ever have. It's given me some of the most immense joy in my life, and it's been some of the most painful times in my life. And so we thought, what a great idea to turn something like that into something bigger.
Sure.
For not only ourselves, but for other people. Mm-hmm. And every single person who watches our content, who will eventually watch our show, will relate.
Yeah.
Everybody was raised by somebody.
Yeah, and I like that it's about dads.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of time you hear about single moms, right?
That's yeah, how absolutely.
How I grew up. But I think it's a cool perspective change on seeing how it's not easy for a dad either.
No.
At all.
And it's a unique perspective in that it's not talked about. It's not sure. in the forefront. But there's nothing unique about being a single dad. It's just not talked about.
Sure. Right. Sure. Yeah. The way people are talking about masculinity and, you know, family dynamic, everything is on the table now, and everything's, you know, people are becoming more comfortable talking about all kinds of different things. And so, and there's such fertile ground for storytelling because, you know, we interviewed Michael Gross a couple weeks ago and we were talking about family ties and like the, you know, like how, you know, it's obviously a sitcom, but at the end of every show was like that, like sitcom dad makes it right moment where there's a hug. But I think about, obviously what you guys are doing is not that, but in that parenting is so, that whole, like you can, there's so many stories to tell in that no matter how many shows are made about family dynamic, there's always a different dynamic that can be made, that can, great stories can come out of. And I love what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Our show, thank you. Our show is less of that.
Of
like
course.
Full House Family Ties.
Right.
And more of, what do you do when you're a single dad and your 3-year-old girl asks you how to wash herself in the bath?
Sure.
The comedy, like I can see the abject fear in both of your eyes.
Right.
Right.
But then there's the comedy around that.
Right.
Sure. That, so it, you know, it's like Full House meets It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's good. You guys got some good stuff going on. It sounds
we're very excited for what's happening. Yeah, yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and you know, we're so lucky to have jobs, and then what I love about talking to you guys is that our creative brain space is also occupied in other arenas, which is a really is we're very lucky.
Absolutely, I agree with you there. It's never enough to be working for me.
Sure.
Yeah. To have a job, and that's not saying my job as an actor on my show is not the most important thing I'm doing right now.
Sure,
it is.
Of course.
But yeah, it's I feel grateful that I have that kind of angst and antsiness that kind of churns inside of me that galvanizes me to always be doing something else.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's drive.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
It's a work ethic.
Yeah.
And but yeah, you have a passion for the art.
Yes.
But it's just funny because we used to spend so much time together doing, you know, obviously Port Chuck was a venture of sorts, right? And a creative venture that felt like just dumb fun, not dumb fun, but, you know, it didn't.
Dude, it was going to Disneyland every single
day. Well, that's what I mean.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny now that as the years have gone on, we are still kind of motivated to find what gives us that.
Can you not do that hand stuff?
I'm grabbing.
Can you not?
I'm the grabbies.
Yeah, yeah, but it is. You're right. Absolutely right. It's great to do other stuff. You know,
yeah.
Port Chuck was fun, and we worked it, and it was awesome. But the one thing is, you don't sing enough. That's one of the problems.
What do you mean?
Well, because you're so talented, you don't sit. You don't really like. Besides Poor Chuck, you don't sing.
Oh, I should be saying. Yeah, I don't.
You know what I mean? So it's like, same thing with Brad. It's like,
Unless I'm doing
now
like
we're doing
parody.
Some more stuff, but it's like, you know.
Yeah, unless I'm doing like a parody song on my Instagram with my guitar, I don't. Yeah,
right.
I don't
sing. Well, that's there's value there too.
Yeah.
God, that's awesome. Gosh, I hope so.
There is. There's value there.
Well, we got a big day ahead of us.
A big day.
We got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to pull this off. So hopefully.
So nice to start our day with a little coffee and a little chat.
So much fun. I'm so happy to be back with you guys.
Yeah, dude. It was so fun last night.
Jeremy, me too, guys. Thank
Jeremy,
you.
We couldn't
thank
imagine.
You guys. Thanks for having me back.
Jeremy,
slayed this podcast.
Jeremy, is that your podcast voice?
Yes, guys. Thank you. Let's make this one go viral.
Dude, would we
let's make this one go viral. Said nobody ever in any viral video.
When we first started, dude, It was hilarious because he didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what they wanted to hear. What do you guys want to hear from me? I'm a male bald nurse. What do you guys want? I'm sitting here.
You're Jack. You're Jack Transporter.
Well, okay.
Yes, stand
I
up.
Am. Yes,
stand
thank
up.
You. I am
stand
Jack.
Up.
They can see. But here I am. What do you guys
think?
But
he didn't know how to really talk. Like his voice. Like he was starting going like this.
So
was
he
no,
like,
because I'm
my voice is cracked. I didn't say puberty. Did you guys hear that?
And you guys are talking about your acting. And I'm like, what do they want to hear from me?
Well, you went out to L.A. You went out to L.A. to act.
I did. And I epically failed. But I'm just saying, like, I love it that you guys have me even sitting here in front of a microphone. It's awesome. But I'm just saying, I'm not, you know, you guys are talking about your
what's
acting.
More fun, nursing or this?
This. Are you kidding me? This.
So you guys met out in L.A., what, in the 80s, 90s? You were, no. That's
wait, why?
70s?
Why do we have the freaking Joker here?
In the 80s? You guys meet in Hollywood in the
80s?
No,
I guess not you, but because we're the same age.
No, we met in Nashville on The Last Castle.
That's what it was.
No, I went out there.
And then he
went
out and he lived right near you, dude.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you live again?
I lived in Woodland Hills, right there off Irwin and Topanga Canyon.
Oh, there's a McDonald's right there.
Yeah, I worked at the Best Buy. I actually did loss prevention out there. Got rocks thrown at me. And
loss prevention.
And I was like, hey, sir, let me check your receipt.
Oh, it was bad, dude.
And then I
remember those
days.
And
White Oak, Encino.
Okay.
Encino Man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right
off.
Encino Man.
His apartment was, you get off at White Oak, and there's a building right up. Right on the off-ramp.
Against the freeway.
That was the building.
That's your building. I know that.
Every car.
Yep.
You don't need a white noise machine. Door was like this.
Oh my god!
Wide.
Yeah.
So I heard every sound, everything.
So he came out and just went home. Anyway, thanks, Jeremy.
Hey,
for
I didn't just go home. I didn't have any money.
So he went home.
So when did you get when was your foray into nursing?
When I didn't have a job. No, I'm just kidding. No, so I did initially. Yes.
So you ran out of money. You were in Los Angeles.
I ran out of money,
and you decided to move back. You decided to move back to Nashville.
I did.
Nashville home?
Nashville's home. Okay. Yes. And I was originally born in Michigan, if you care.
Okay.
They care. And went back home. I started taking college because
don't
that's
say
what
that
you know
word on our podcast.
College? Michigan.
Ugh.
So I started taking classes in college when I got back because that's what you do when you
go to college.
Don't have a job.
When you decide not to act anymore.
And, you know, so anyways, and I had taken English, history, you name it, I'd taken it, and then still didn't have an idea of what I wanted to do. And had some medical people in the family, and somebody's like, hey, why don't you do nursing? And I was like, well, what do I got to take? And they're like, well, you're only missing two classes because you've taken everything else. And so I did. I took those two classes. And I've always been kind of I know it doesn't seem that way on this podcast, but outgoing. And shut your faces. I knew that was going to be a hit when I said that.
It's a smash hit.
But,
everywhere,
I mean,
but
I
a very outgoing guy.
I really am.
I'm boisterous.
But yeah, so I...
So you became a nurse.
See, and that's why...
Thank
yeah,
you.
Right? Thank
Gaylord
you.
Gaylord Faulker, everybody.
There you
thank
go.
You so much.
All right. It just all worked out. Thank
I always
you
get so worried we'll that the Meet the Parents is so old and people haven't seen it. And he loves to throw out that reference. Yeah. And I'm like... I hope everybody gets it.
Well, I do get called. It's actually funny because I do get
meet
called
the Faulkers.
I get called ma'am all the time. At work.
Seriously?
All the time.
Like by accident? Or is like just, a...
No,
is
patients like a... will be like, oh, thank you, ma'am. And they'll correct themselves. Okay, and then I'm like, it's cool. I'm a male nurse. So it's okay to call me ma'am.
How many people think you're literally the transporter when they come in?
Oh, I get stopped everywhere.
Do you really?
Target, Walmart. I've been in the bathroom at the urinal, and some
God.
Dude tried talking to me.
Well, that wasn't because of the transport.
Well, that's just because I'm extremely good looking.
Okay.
Was he doing one of these?
Well, he was taller.
He's very tall. He's 7'2".
Yes. Yeah,
anyway, all right.
Wow, this cool. went off the rails.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're good,
fine, dude.
Hey, we're going to have a great day, and...
Are we? All right. Thank you, guys. Hey, we appreciate you guys listening, by the way, and supporting us, and you're awesome, and can't wait to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for everybody that joined us this weekend for Poor Chuck, and we got a lot of fun stuff coming.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to the MRP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this. Raiders was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.